You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, The Body Keeps the Score. As Dr. Bessel van der Kolk writes in his groundbreaking book, The Body Keeps the Score, yes, your body, your nervous system, is a wise system that stores memories. Even if many times we might consciously think that we're over or past. In my decades of experience as a yoga practitioner and teacher, I've had numerous encounters of purging such memories, tension, hurt, or stored emotion out of the body. So, yes, from personal experience, I can confirm the body does keep score. And yoga, as well as other somatic practices, can be very effective in helping us gently detox them out of our system. The thing is, sometimes there's still more. It's like we're living beings, right? So cleansing these things can happen in layers in a very alive way. Recently, I had yet another personal experience of my body releasing the long-held score in waves of sorts, not of fear, but of relief. And that's what today's episode is about. This summer, my two kids and I traveled to a remote island off the coast of Busuanga in the Palawan Islands in the Philippines. This unplugged trip gave me so much more than I expected. Not just the ocean, not just richly wonderful time with my boys, but moments so gentle and soft, they cracked something open in me. Something old. For example, there was this moment when the three of us were walking by the deep dive pool. Aiden, my 7-year-old, asked me, "Mom, can I touch the water?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, darling. Just be careful not to fall in. That's the deep pool." Of course, I was still keeping an eye on him, but his big brother, Isa, 15 at the time, sort of followed Aiden and stayed near him just because he wanted to protect him. In an instant, my mind flashed back to family trips my parents used to take us on, 4 kids and 2 parents, late 80s. If that were me wanting to dip my hand in the pool, not only was there no one to watch over me, one of my siblings, or it could have even been my dad, someone might likely have followed me to pretend to push me into the pool just to spook me, and then maybe quickly pull me back by my shirt or something like that. There was another moment on our trip when Aiden needed to use the restroom after dinner. Isa and I were still at our table, relaxing, listening to live music and feeling the ocean breeze, just taking it all in. Aiden came dashing back because the toilet he went to had a bee in it, or some kind of a bug that he thought was a bee. Isa, seeing that I still had a couple of bites to finish on my plate, didn't hesitate to stand up and walk with Aiden to guide him to another toilet. It was dark, and Aiden felt a little afraid to go alone. Now, maybe neither of these things were a big deal. Except they are. Because in the family I grew up in, that hand might have been pushed. That fear might have been mocked or joked about. My dinner would have likely been rushed. Oh, for sure it would have been rushed. I would not have been met with softness or respect in that moment. It was like this common language that we grew up in was a mixture of joking fun that was, more often than not, pushed beyond a healthy limit to a laughter of some, but most commonly, not the person at the center of it. And so, my experience on this remote island in the Philippines, as I would lay myself to sleep in this wonderfully relaxed vibe of safety and bottom line family trust, I noticed my body start to release an old tension. It was like a sort of bracing for impact because you can't trust the people around you kind of attention. I didn't cry, but I did feel the squeeze in my chest and this long exhale, a letting go in my shoulders. It was as if my nervous system was fizzling in relief, in release. It was like I was thinking to myself, oh my God, this is what I wanted back then when I was a child and I was lacking. I didn't even know how to name it because I never knew this was possible. Growing up in my family, as wonderful it was in many ways, it was also, in other ways, an emotionally immature battleground of survival. And the thing is, I was always the weakest one, the youngest one, the most gullible one. So very often, I just ended up getting the shortest end of the stick. But now look, my children are modeling for me what's possible, what love, emotionally mature and respectful love and safety look like in a family dynamic. And can I just say, look who made it possible for them. It was like I was watching my children receive this emotional, deep felt sense of safety and love that I never had. And it was healing me. It was melting this bracing sense that I had unknowingly carried in my body as it was keeping score. It was like letting the heaviness of this armor that I was wearing that I didn't even know about anymore because it had become chronic in my system. I was finally letting it drop and melt away. Letting the hypervigilance, the kind I once thought was my personality, it's gone now. It's released. I'm reminded of something the spiritual teacher Louise Kay once said. She spoke about how when old energies rise in the system, it can work like opening a bottle of soda that's been shaken for years. You don't want to twist it open all at once. It will burst and you'll make a big mess of it. You open it slowly, slowly, just inch by inch, breath by breath. And that's actually the gentlest, kindest way to do it. And your system actually knows that's how to heal, right? So sometimes when we're on this healing path, we can be hurried about it. you might have thoughts like, oh, I should be over this already, or I wish all of that was healed and gone. But no, your body knows the safest, the best timing to release something that's been pent up for so long. It deserves this gentle slowness because it's worthwhile. This experience for me has just been a very special turning point. It's almost like so natural that if I didn't do a whole podcast episode on it, that I don't know, maybe in a year or two or more, I might forget about it. You know, it's the kind of thing that just gets so integrated naturally. But I do want to mark this moment because it's truly a full circle moment when you heal something so deep, so generational, that was so embedded in the body, that had become so chronic that maybe you didn't even realize that was felt like a part of you. But in the living of your daily life, because raising kids is something you do daily, minute by minute, it's not like a one and done. It was such a confirmation of my healing journey to have been able to prevent a carrying down of a lack of safety or maybe too much jokingness for my children, and instead to replace it with such gentle and true respect and love. I feel like this fizzing away as the tension rose and released from my body. You know, even in that release, I can say to myself, hey, I see you. And it's safe to let go now. You are safe. And it felt like a sacred release.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.